Hello, we're reading from the book of Baal HaSulam, page 688, letter 8. There is no English text for that one. You're also welcome to ask questions at kab.tv, and selected questions about the relevant topics will be aired live. Again, the writings of Baal HaSulam, page 688, letter 8. My honorable friend, may the Creator be with you. I only wish to rebuke you now for slacking in your work of calligraphy, to come before me as once in a while with knowledge from your points, because then we would add a few benches in the seminary. I have already reproached you about it in a previous letter I sent you on the first day of Nisan. And look at Midrash Rabbah Jethro. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, and what if at a time that he gives life to the land, the land roared, when he will come to take from the wicked who transgress the words of the Torah, as written, before his rage who should stand, and who sustains the day of his coming? When he desires, no creature can stand his strength. When he rises in his rage, who can stand before him? Who shall not fear you, the king of the nations? And even though the words of Rabbi Yirmiyahu, their taste is proven by itself, yet with all of that, the Torah, the more you look into it, you find more taste into it. So I'd like to illuminate it before you. You find in the piyut, in the song, and you are the terrible of all the terrible ones, pride over all the pride ones, surrounding everything and filling up everything. Explanation. We see terrible and horrible things, etc., and pains that are worse than death, etc. And who does all that? And that is his name, the one who is more terrible than all the dreadful ones. And he is removed from them. And so we see from the days of the world until this day how many people have embittered their lives with all kinds of torments and afflictions. And all of that is only to find some taste in the servitude of the Creator, or to know who is the landlord of the city. And all of them who wasted their lives in vain and left the world as they came into it and did not know any relief. And why did the Creator not answer all of their prayers? Why did he pride himself over them and certainly did not make peace with them? And what is his name? Proud over all those who are proudful. That is his name. But those who attain those terrible things and attain that remote pride certainly know that the Creator is removed from them, even though they did not know why he is removed from them. And what do the authors of this song tell about it? They say that there is an honorable purpose for all the incidents of this world, which is called the drop of unity, that the dwellers of all of these clay houses, when they pass through all of those terrible things and all of this necessity of his pride that is removed from them, then an opening opens up in the walls of their hearts, who is very sealed by the nature of creation itself, and they become worthwhile through those things for the instillment of that drop of unity in their hearts. And they invert like the sealed matter, the imprinted matter, and they see indeed that it is indeed the opposite, meaning that specifically in those terrible things they come to the attainment of the necessity removed from any foreign pride. There and only there is the Creator himself, and there he can instill upon them that drop of unity. There the Creator has surrounded, turned everything over them to such an extent that the one who achieves this unity would know that he has, quote-unquote, found ransom and an open opening for his inspiration. And this is as written in the song, he surrounds everything and fills up everything, that at a time of attainment, the abundance is felt and settles specifically over all of these opposites. And this is as written, terrible over all the terrible ones and proudful over all those who are proud. and necessarily fills up everything, since the author of the song knew that he fills them up with great expansion, and he could not achieve the pleasantness of his uniqueness until it seemed to him at the time of his wholeness that all the sufferings that they went through have some value, as they give him some taste and pleasantness of the abundance of his uniqueness, and all of his organs and tendons will tell and testify to him that each and every one from the people of the world would cut off their hands and legs 7 times a day in order to attain a single moment in their whole life with such a taste that is felt by them. And this is the words of the leopard on the day of his cleansing, and he was brought to the priest to testify on his guilt. And this is the court for all good action, because you shall find it as it is done in the land of guilt, and all passapai for him it shall be. This is a song, and it is known how I and him shall dwell, and what will his conversation be on that day while they travel between the rams. There is an ear for such pleasant things. They draw the rivers of Pharsamon, and they see that what is heard is only in their own fault, and their stench removes them from afar, from the distance, from the east, from the west, that the ransom shall not at all be limited in their eyes, while he places himself to be ransom for them, and all foreign shall be as pleasant speaking. And this is the hand for all the vessels of purity in which he will grip to reveal the light, to create and keep that light over it, in the sense of the redemption and in the sense of the exchange. And even though all of those things will not be wondrous in your eyes, I want to fill up with them the words of Rabbi Yirmiyah. And that is his intent, his uplifted intention in his words. What when his desire, when he desires, no creature can withstand his might. When he rises in his rage, who can stand before him? Who shall not see you, the king of the nations, meaning terrible over the terrible ones and proud over all the proudful ones? And everything is in order to tell the words of the living God. This means that the weight of all of these terrible, mighty things were only set so that one can see the voices that the eye cannot see and the heart can contemplate and think. And until he reaches this extent, the Creator would work as an operator without any complaint over the action itself, because it is felt that the action has not yet been. Therefore, throughout this whole terrible, prolonged thing, he would be desirable and appeased for his action to reveal it to the set time. And this is as Rabbi Yirmiyah said, when he desires, etc., meaning all of his intention is to reproach the workers of the Creator so that this sublime and true past would be before their eyes always, after the action has revealed itself already. And then you can come and claim and demand over his honor that it will not be defiled. Because who is a fool who will say that the Creator is one who makes concessions, is lenient? And he brings that verse, who shall stand on the day of his rage, and who can meet the day of his coming? And this is very precise from the prolonged and sublime past, that the day of his rage is what sustains the day of his coming, and they are measured together as in a scale. Up to here.
We see that the upper force operates in everything.
And
comes to us only from this one source.
על הרצון לקבל,
the thoughts and feelings that come on the will to receive, which we feel, all these phenomena that come and pass on the will to receive and are also felt from the light itself, it awakens and develops. And what we feel, what we attain,
so certainly the Creator is the first. He invites in us all the impressions in our emotion and in our mind. Therefore, we have to relate differently to what we feel and what we understand. Not as, oh, what do I feel? Oh, what do I now understand? Not the phenomenon itself, because the phenomenon itself was planned ahead of time, and that is why the light is operating. For that, rather, what is behind that phenomenon that I now discern? From here onwards, begins something that maybe belongs to me, and not so far. Maybe I ran around and I invested a lot of force and I tried many things. I was operating, working in the society, in the study, in dissemination, in everything. I gave forth exertion. Even if I would have done that 100%, it is all in retrospect. All of that I have to tie, relate to the Creator, who gave it to me, who awakened me, who cared, directed, and actually carried it out through me. And following everything that was done, and I discovered in my emotion and in my mind the new state, and I ascribe everything to Him, then as a result of that, I get to attain a little bit, according to the extent of awakening that He gave me, I attain Him a little bit. This is called that there, only there, can one adhere to the Creator. There you can feel that drop of unity. That whatever we attain, what we attain is the single place, the single source, a single force, a single thought, something which is called unity, ichud, from the word echad, one. The word one is what he then attained. And therefore we go through all of these terrible things, all the sufferings, all the confusions, the many calculations, until we become ready to appreciate what does it mean, one. that specifically there is the true wholeness, perfection. Questions? Yes. Nancy? So on what does it depend to our ability to discover that everything is a single word, a single thought? In the many questions that and things that a person goes through the many confusions that one has to go through in all kinds of different situations, states, and then out of that one begins to appreciate the concept of one unique and unified. As Rambam writes to us, and Baal HaSulam explains it in Histaklut Pnimit, in part one in Tas. Actually, it's out of the multitude of the many. So now, I'd like to aim towards reaching that word one, that one thought. What should be in that tuning, aiming? To unite, as he writes someplace, to unite all the moments for his name, etc., so that they'll be dedicated, etc., to that concept of one. And this is also what we learned yesterday in our last two workshops about there is none else besides Him, how to attribute everything to Him. Besides that, we don't have anything. We are as if used to saying there is none else besides Him. We don't want to enter into it a bit more. What does it mean that there is none else besides Him? It means that I gather from all the thousands of discernments that I have in my mind and heart that it's all coming from a single root. Well, that is superficial. But let's say that is how it is. And what next? This is just like in our world. So it comes from some decision up above, and all kinds of consequences, all kinds of phenomena come down, and we feel them through all kinds of different incidents in life. And if we want to, we can then ascribe all of that to that one upper decision. Well, okay, so the problem is not that. Well, not the problem. The purpose is not that. The cause and consequence that must be there is to achieve, to attain the concept of one. And that is not by me ascribing everything to Him only, but rather by me being incorporated, included in that. The fact that I point to Him as one, fine, you can say that. But to reach the concept itself, I have to be in adhesion. Otherwise, how do I recognize that this is how it is? So, what does it mean to unite the next moment or to unite the next moment? What does it mean to unite or dedicate? We learn that in the workshop also. In that workshop also, the previous one, that it's according to motion, time, and place, that it's forbidden to delay the moment. Rather, that moment that I'm in, I have to dedicate, unite that with there is none else besides Him. That I also have to do that both for the beginning of the action and the end of the action, and actually specifically from the end to the beginning, because in the middle I have the action. Why do I need an action in the middle if the Creator does everything? Because as much as I invest in carrying it out by myself, as if there is no Creator, then later I have something to give up. By that I build resistance. I now worked for 10 years in order to buy an apartment. And then I buy the apartment, I enter the apartment, I sit down. This is mine. What should I say now? You didn't do anything, you didn't operate at all, you didn't earn anything. The Creator has planned it this way. You were just running around, pa 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 pa. You've been manipulated, turned, just like that. If you wouldn't do anything, it would have been the same. all of this life is just some sort of a game. And everything takes place behind it, beyond that, beyond all of this theater. And you would have received this apartment even if you were sleeping the whole time. Rather, just like that, in your imagination, you were operating, working, you as if went to work, you made money, you were thinking, you were planning. All of that, well, it's just a waste of time. It appeared to you that you were alive, that you were busy in some things. You know, well, take the apartment. That's it. So, that places a great problem for you, because you invested. Actually, you invest in what? In the fact that there is none else besides him. No, there is something else besides him. There is you. So, if you, throughout those 10 years, are saying, there is none else but me, and I have to do everything, and it doesn't matter that there is none else besides him, and everything is planned ahead of time, rather, I have to exert, and I'm doing it with all of my force, with complete agreement that it all depends on me. Why? Because he commanded me. Because it's his order that there is none else but me. If not me for myself, then who else? And then after I go and I express myself in the opposite form from the single, united, only providence, I then operate in the opposite manner. And then I say, there is none else besides him. Well, I say, I can't say that. That's the attainment that I have to reach. Meaning that I operate in both of those planes in the decision to go out to work and work for 10 years and in the later decision that 100% all of it I attach to him and I don't see myself in that at all. By that, I see that I shift, transition from my ego to bestow another great part, portion of matter. How does it say there? From sanctity to, or from the klipa to the sanctity, from one authority to the other, one dominion to the other. We learn that when a person reaches a new degree, should he also say there is none else besides him? When you reach a new degree, how can it be that I belong to a new degree? How can it be that I'll be doing anything, moreover, to rise to a new degree, to accept a new, receive some new state? Me? How can it be? Through what? It's not I who do, and it is not I who is operating in that, and it's not I who is changing my own states, and it's not I who feel that I changed my states, and it is not I who is digesting it, acknowledging it, rather the one who thinks that I feel and think, is that me or not? Where is there maybe a point which is me, or maybe that is the Creator as well? In the image of the self that I have, in the sensation of myself, which is solid, warm, feeling, thinking, where here is the Creator? If we say that the light carries out all the actions in the Kli, it shakes the Kli, it arranges it, gives that form by entering the four bechinot aspects in the kli, and then the kli begins to be impressed, to feel, etc. Is that the kli itself? If I take you like this, and I started educating you, music, and he tells us that about the king who did that, music and painting, dancing, and science and everything. I made all of this for you, did all that to you. And now we're sitting together, and we're talking and we're enjoying. Who am I talking with? Who? With my own creation? Not with someone else? Where is there somebody else here? There was some matter that I have inflated with 1,001 things, and I did this in a precise manner through my own determination, with criticism, according to my own plan. So who am I dealing with now? Where are here these entertainments, as we say, of the Creator with the created beings? How is he entertained if he has created everything? There's nothing here. By there is none else besides him, we as if cancel his work, so he did that work in vain?
No.
Well, say something. But he wants us to be the creature, the created being. What creature? Where is the creature here? Well, he wants us to be totally independent. Maybe that's the opportunity. That is true. We have to find that point. Yes, we. If the Creator is one and everything is one, how can it be that everybody is different here? Meaning, how can it be that if we're all just an expression, manifestation of that one, there is such a difference between people? The difference between people stems from in the gap between the Creator and the created being, that gap enters the matter. And that height, that gap between the Creator and the created being, it developed within the creatures into width, breadth. And as if, because certainly we're, you know, different as beasts, but let's say at that despicable level of ours, the gap between us expresses the gap between us and the Creator, as if. Yes. So this says that in the points of our hearts, for example, that are part of the Creator, we're exactly the same, because even that concept of Creator, each one of us grasps differently. There is no such thing as one in all of us, that all of us are, well, we can't compare, certainly it's different, as it appears to us, but when we come to that unity there, it's, well, that's, I want to say there are too many layers in that. So maybe I'll try to ask differently. How is the Creator for us, for the whole group? How is he one? Where is he one? How do we turn him into one? How do we all relate to him equally? He's the one who gives birth, who cares for, who arranges, who leads towards him. We're incorporated in him, integrated in him. Everything is according to the concept of one. Well. No, because nonetheless, each one has a different perception, even of those words. One who gives birth, one who cares.
that intentionally was formed in us, the force of separation, the force of that division, divides us, that removes us, that is precisely what we need to skip over and reach the One. Hence, it is integrating one another, love their friend, etc. I think we need already to ascend slightly, to see the two planes in what we are in our feeling and mind, and to look at it slightly differently. Yes, sorry.
On what depends the person's ability to cling to the concept of there is none else besides him?
In that he doesn't escape, he doesn't run away from tolerating him. Because the term one is as a blade. It is very unpleasant, to say the least. Putting it softly, is very unpleasant because it cancels you. It cancels your independence, your exertion, your suffering and feeling, your thought, attainment, understanding. It cancels everything as if there's nothing. Man's I, or man's self, is above our life and death. He is above. Hence, it's hard to tolerate it. Impossible. Because the truth is, well, your sensation of livelihood is outside the term of one. If there's one, then you don't exist. You're not in. Yes.
On what depends the ability to bear that concept, that to bear there's none else besides him? What does that depend on?
In the root of the soul, first and foremost, where by a person discovers that he must, although he's thrown away from there and is giving, brought back and kicked out and brought back again, he must discover that. That's first of all in the root of the soul, according to one's role. As in our body, look, how much in our body, how many organs and sub-organs have you got, etc. And it is all managed by one cell in the osh, which is really like the head of a pin. That's it. This is how it works. So, first of all, in that, and later on, well, Bala Sulam says it's according to time, that the time is worthy, or meaning it is needed, these people are needed, or, well, I see that if you would make an effort, everyone has really a whole place in the world. The world is awaiting you. That's That is using the opportunity, as we also spoke yesterday in the workshop, what an opportunity means.
Vadim from Ekaterinburg is asking, how by ascribing everything to the Creator I reach bestowal? How are the two things connected, related?
One reaches bestowal under the condition that I know that no one needs it. Just like that. And no one forces me. And no one receives anything from it, no benefit. And obviously, me neither. And what I do want is I want to be in it. Like that. Why? It is something that is above all that I can imagine. And should I have any opportunity, any chance to do some, even the smallest action of bestowal without no results, without anything, I'm willing to invest all that I have, my entire life, all that I am. This is called, as he says here, this is where one reaches the drop of unity. There and only there, one cleaves to the Lord, and everyone is willing to chop their arms and legs their entire life. This is how we reach bestowal.
And how is that connected? How does that connect to there is none else to besides Him, to ascribing everything to the Creator?
For then you attain what it means there, there's none else beside Him. Because to attain the light, to come close to it and attain it in and of itself, I need... Well, in our world, we don't have such vessels. Because if I enter a sensation of a certain phenomenon, then we are integrated with it. Like now we discover in technology and in physics that if I observe a certain phenomenon, then I'm already affecting it. Because before we thought, well, I see it, and I see it, okay, what did they do? Now we are looking at, say, you're looking at the stars, you've changed them. Because this is your influence, however we can measure it. Well, nowadays the scientists already talk about it. So how do I reach that drop of unity and discover that drop? For that, I need to not exist. To be above the fact that I am necessarily affected by coming to that unity. So I'm allowed to touch something that is beyond eternity, beyond wholeness, beyond anything. In the internality of the Creator, even beyond the Creator, is that point, yes? How am I preparing myself in order not to be the participating, the disturbing, that will not change the situation or the element?
Kennedy. I wanted to ask you to elaborate a little bit about that example that you brought yesterday about the ping pong with the Creator. Who begins? Who is serving the first ball? Yesterday you say that you serve and He returns the ball to you, but that's also not precise. Where does the Creator enter here? And
no, we need to guard the level we are scrutinizing things. That my entire work is as quickly as possible to respond to each sensation and understanding, mind and heart, and discern what's in the mind, what's in the heart, and also how they affect one another, how in total they lead to one image or depiction. So we are thinking that we are vessels of sensation. Yeah? And we are saying that our matter is a matter that feels, on the one hand. On the other hand, if we examine ourselves from what happens here, I maybe perceive 1%, or the 99% of that image is what I add, what I depict by myself, according to the habit, the characters, the sermons, my fantasies, etc. This is how it is. Well, let's not get into that, but what do I want to say? That all in all, when one grasps an image or depiction, so there's mind and heart that are intertwined here, and I need in this depiction, in that image, as quickly as possible to find the root, the elements, being the creator, the way he formed that image in me. And to justify it and to attribute it to him and to cleave on to it. And all of those things have to go through me as quickly as possible, and I need to prepare myself for it and get the right consequences from it. So in all the states, I need, and especially more than all, ever, more than anything, to identify him. Yeah, what are these states for? To identify him. So this ping pong, is he confusing me and I confuse him? I discover him and he confuses me. Then it turns to be into nine sefirot of direct light, nine sefirot of returning light, etc. This dialogue turns more and more and more and more practical, more deeper. We move from one plane to the next, to a deeper and deeper inner understanding, start to understand one another, just as in our world, without even words, then not even according to movements, then we move to thoughts, then we move to further inner things, from heart to heart. Accordingly, it is the degrees of familiarity, of proximity. This is that ping-pong. And it is entirely, as we spoke here, awakening the dawn, etc., that it is entirely, as I more and more and more, desire to identify in each and every morning that there is none else but him, good that does good, and cleave on to it. This is the ping-pong, the table tennis. There's nothing more than that. If a person aims at that by the environment and by his preparations, he does it relatively quickly. Well, at least, maybe not that quickly. Well, we are in the general correction of the world, but in the path of how to hasten it and not in due time. We'll move to the next part.
Moving on to the next part from the Zohar.